Good evening, and I got my chayidish. This Shabbos is the Shabbos before Shavuos. The Zohar tells us that the Shabbos before Yom Tov prepares us for the upcoming Yom Tov. Shabbos Parshas Bamidbar, which is always read before Shavuos, the Shulchan Aruch, it is mentioned that we're supposed to lay Bamidbar before Shavuos, separating B'chukaisai, the Taichacha, from Shavuos. What is the connection between this parasha Bamidbar to Shavuos and the Haftarah as well? The Haftarah that we read this week, which is from Hosea, the Hoya Misbar B'nei Yisrael K'chol Hayam, which the connection to the parasha is quite obvious right away. Misbar B'nei Yisrael, this is the parasha of Misbar, this is the parasha of counting. In fact, the entire Chumash is called Chumash HaPekudim. Numbers, this is the book of Numbers, because this is the Chumash that has in it the counting of B'nai Yisrael, not only here, but also later in Parshas Pinchas. But there are other psukim in this Haftarah that are connected to the parasha and to the upcoming Yom Tov of Shavuos. A lot of the Haftarah is Divrei Teichacha, where Hashem, through the Navi Hosea, is admonishing Klal Yisrael, comparing them to Anisha Zayna. And then at the end, it turns into Nachama, and Hashem says, Lochein hinei anoichi mifateha, I'm going to seduce her, sort of, we who are the wife of Hashem, v'ilachtiha hamidbar, Hashem says he's going to bring us into the desert, v'dibarti aliba, and I'm going to talk to her and try to convince her. And then the pasuk says, v'nasati lo eskromeho misham, v'es emek ochor lefesach tikva, the valley, the troubling valley, that's how they translate Emek Ocher, the troubling valley, obviously something associated with negativity, will be turned into Pesach Tikva, to a portal of hope. In those days, in that time, Hashem says we will call him husband, Ishi, and Hashem says, V'charati lohem b'ris b'yoyim ha'hu, and Hashem will remove the keshes and the cherub and the melchama, similar to the brachas that we had in the previous parasha. And then the Haftarah ends, ve'erastachli la'olam, ve'erastachli b'tzedek, which many of us say when we wrap the tefillin around the finger. Ve'erastach, which is an expression of erusin, the throthful, that Hashem is taking us as his wife. Ve'atem tihiyu li mamleches kohanim, which is what Hashem said to us prior to the day of Matan Torah, Tihiyu Li, you are designated as mine, like a chosin says to a kala under the chuppah, Hareat Mekudesh as Li. This is the Haftarah that we read in the parasha prior to Shavuos. And the fact that this is the Haftarah of the Shabbos before Shavuos means that the Haftarah has to do also with the upcoming Yom Tov of Shavuos. This Shabbos is also known as Yom HaMeyuchas. This Shabbos is Beis Sivan, Rosh Chodesh is Friday. Beis Sivan is the day when Hashem said, "Va'atem tihiyu li mamleches kohanim v'goy kodesh," and that's why it is referred to as Yom HaMiyuchas. We don't say Tachanun. Okay, this year we won't say Tachanun anyway because it's Shabbos. We don't say Tachanun because it's Yom HaMiyuchas, the day of the title, the day that we were given a very special title of being Hashem's mamleches kohanim v'goy kodesh, and Koyisoyim al leveis Yaakov v'sagei lebnei Yisrael. This is when Hashem begins preparing Klal Yisrael for the Shloshes Yimei Hagbola and for the upcoming Chag HaShavuos and Matan Torah. Yom HaMiyuchas, the day of Yichus, the day that we become Miyuchasim. It's interesting that Parshas Bamidbar is the Parsha of Yichus. This is the Parsha where we were told, not by any other count except for this one, to bring genealogy documents to verify the lineage of the families of the Shvatim. Everyone had to bring documents. In those days, I guess it wasn't so difficult. It was only a few generations back. Even today they have it, certainly then, where the Pasuk says, Vayisyaladu al mishpachaisam. This is a very difficult word. Vayisyaladu would mean, and they gave birth to themselves. Obviously, that doesn't make any sense. That's not what it means. So Rashi says, Vayisyaladu al mishpachaisam means, they brought the documents that verify their family lineage. Because in this count, they weren't just being counted how many Jews were there. They were being counted per shevet. Every shevet was counted separately. every three Shvatim were counted separately and were given a specific flag and had to camp on a different direction, some to the east of the Mishkan, some to the west, some to the south, some to the north. And as the Midrashim tell us, that Hashem set up Klal Yisrael just as the Malachim are set up around the Kisei HaKavod Lamaila. Hashem set up Klal Yisrael around the Mishkan at Har Sinai. So Vayidabar Hashem al Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'Ohel Moed, that in order to make this count and in order to count every Shevet, it was incumbent upon every individual to bring his Yichus brief, to bring his genealogy documents to show that he is from the particular Shevet that he says he is. So this is the parasha of Yichus. This is the parasha of Yichus on Yom HaMiyuchas, that we are being told that we are the Mamleches Kehanim v'Goy Kodosh. Chag HaShavuos, the Yom Tov of Matan Torah, is actually the true Yichus of Klal Yisrael. That's what we become, Miyuchasim. After all, we are Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, but prior to that, we are descendants of idol worshippers. Mitchila Oivdi Avoy Dezoro Hoy Avoy Seinu. And although it starts with Avraham Avinu, but the real Leda of Klal Yisrael, as the Navi says in Yecheskel, when we left Mitzrayim, but that wasn't really the true Leda. The true Leda was when we received the Torah. And that we see also in this week's parasha, another connection to Shavuos, where the Pasuk says, tomorrow's portion of Chumash, the fourth portion of Chumash in Revi, Ba'ila told us, Aharon u'Moshe, b'yayim dibur Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai. The Pasuk says, these are the children of Aaron and Moshe. The day that Hashem spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai, this Pasuk is difficult to translate. What does that mean? These are the children of Aaron and Moshe. The day that Hashem spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai, they were his children before that. Oh, and whose children are we talking about? The next passage says, "Ve'elish Shmoyz b'nei Aharon habuchar nodav." But these are the names of the sons of Aaron. So we're not talking about the children of Moshe. So why did the Torah say Ve'elish told us Aaron and Moshe? And why does the pasuk then say "Biyoyim diber Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai"? What does that have to do with if you're talking about the told us of Aaron and Moshe? The day that Hashem spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai is not when they became Aaron and Moshe's children. Where is it? Says Rashi, we're talking about a different genealogy here. We're talking about a different leida. We're not talking here about physical birth. We're talking about something else. Rashi says, "Ve'enai maskir ela b'nei Aharon." The Torah only mentions the children of Aharon. Moshe's children are not mentioned there at all. And yet they're called Toldos Moshe. Why? L'fishalomdan Torah. Because he taught them Torah. Melamed, shekol ha-melamed is ben chaveroi Torah. Whoever teaches his child Torah, his friend's child Torah, not his own child, yimuchliv to teach, b'shinatam levonecha, but whoever teaches his friend's child Torah, Ma'ala olav ha'kosev, the Torah considers it ki'ilu yilodai, as if he gave birth to him, as if he's his father. Therefore, the Pasuk says, Ve'ela told us Aharon u'Moshe, referring literally to the children of Aaron, who now become Moshe's children too, when? B'yoyim diber Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai. When was that? When Hashem gave the Torah at Har Sinai. So that means when Hashem gave the Torah at Har Sinai, we all were born. That was our late, that was the later ruchnius of Klal Yisrael. As David HaMelech says, Ani hayoyim l'detichah. The Leda, the true Leda then, of Am Yisrael, is when they receive the Torah. And as the Pasuk begins the Haftorah, that Hosea says, B'hoya bimkoyim asher ye'omer lohem loy amiyatem, ye'omer lohem b'nei keil choy. In the previous Pesukim, it says Hashem was very angry with the Jews, and he says, loy amiyatem, you are not my people. Says the Navi, the time will come when Hashem will take that back, what he said about Loi Ami Atem, and instead Hashem will refer to us as Bnei Keil Choy, the children of the live God. We are Hashem's children. Bnei Atem, Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. Bnei Keil Choy. The Sfarim say Keil Choy, Aleph Lamed Ches Yud, is equal to 49. During the 49 days of Sfira, we are working on this relationship. We're working on two relationships, actually. We are working on the relationship between ourselves and Hashem, which is the relationship of Chosan and Kala, but also the relationship of father and son. To deserve the title being called Hashem's children, which began on Beis Sivan, when Hashem was preparing us for Matan Torah, Yom HaMiyuchas, which is this Shabbos, which coincides so perfectly with the parasha where we learn that when a person teaches someone else Torah, he is considered that person's father. Hashem taught us Torah at Har Sinai. Hashem is our father. We are his children. That was the Leda of Am Yisrael. What's interesting is the whole concept of Yichus. Many times it is necessary to show a Yichus when there's an error. when there are those who question the Yichus, when there are those who say, prove it, who says you're really Miyuchasim? We find in Parshas Pinchas that the Torah testifies that all that those who were counted were truly the children of the Shvatim. Shiftei Ka, Hashem himself testifies, Shiftei Ka, Eidus Yisrael, for there were those who said, prove that the Bnei Yisrael are really Bnei Yisrael. If the Egyptians were able to enslave them forcibly, who says they didn't live with their wives? Who says that those who call themselves Jews are really Jews? And so the Torah had to testify that we are Hashem's children, that we are the children of the Shvatim. Meaning that sometimes it is necessary for genealogy documentation when there are those who contest it. And it's interesting, this contesting began with the birth of the first Jew. The first Jew to be born is Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak corresponds to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. We don't learn about the birth of Avraham as much as we learn about the birth of Yitzchak and the bris of Yitzchak at 8 days old and what the su'udah that Avraham made at the bris. Avraham's entry into Bnei Yisrael is when he's 99 years old, really, when the bris milah is performed. Yitzchak is the first born Jew, and his birth was with many rumors. It came with a lot of rumors and a lot of contesting. Was he truly the child of Sarah? There were, first of all, those who said of Avraham and Sarah. And Sarah too. Why? Many said that Me'avimelech Nisabra Sarah, that the Chas V'Shalom Yitzchak was a mamzer. That it can't be. They lived for so many years. She never got pregnant. One night she was taken by Avimelech, and all of a sudden she gets pregnant. So it must be that it's really Avimelech's child. That was one group. Then there were those who said that it wasn't Sarah's child either, because no one really ever saw her pregnant. Sarah never went out in the street. Sarah was tsunua hinei ba'oihel. She's 90 years old. All of a sudden you hear a 90-year-old lady had a baby. Come on, it's ridiculous. So as Rashi quotes twice in the Chumash, once where it talks about the birth of Yitzchak and the Suda that Avraham makes, b'yoyim higomel is Yitzchak. So there Rashi tells us, heinika banim Sarah, that Sarah nursed many, many infants, not only her own, miraculously. B'yoyim ha-mishta heviu ha-sarais b'nei, and all the princesses, all the noble women came and they brought their children with them to the party, and she nursed every single one of them. What was the purpose of that? Hashem doesn't make miracles for nothing. Because they said, Lo yolda Sarah. Sarah never gave birth. El asufi heviu min ha-shuk. It's an adopted child, an asufi. The Mishnah in Kedushin is an asufi, is a mamzer, shtuki. It's from the street. So this is not really their own child. They found him at the doorstep, or they bought him in an adoption agency, or whatever it is. Meaning, the birth of the first Jew didn't go that easy. There were those who contested the fact that whether Yitzchak was really Avraham's child, or whether it was Sarah's either. Imagine, both they questioned. In order to prove that Yitzchak was truly the child of Avraham and of Sarah, later on, when he got older, he looked like Avraham Avinu. As Rashi says, if Ela told us Yitzchak ben Avraham, everyone testified, you see, it's his child, it looks exactly like him. It was necessary to do that, even though many children look like their father. That's certainly no miracle. The Sfarim say it was a miracle, because Yitzchak was not like Avraham at all. They were totally different. They had different character traits. Avraham is Chesed, Yitzchak is Pachad, Yitzchak is Yira, Gevura. So Yitzchak should have looked different. The fact that Yitzchak looked like Avraham was a nace. So those who question that Sarah was impregnated by Avraham, the fact that Yitzchak looked exactly like Avraham pretty much said it all. But when Yitzchak was a baby, they couldn't tell yet. The fact that she was able to nurse, and she had so much milk, she was able to nurse so many who came to the party at the age of 90, it's a miracle that she could nurse her own baby, and yet she was able to nurse so many others. Hey, Nika Banim Sarah, prove that Yitzchak is really the true child of Avraham and Sarah. So it's real Yichus. He really is the firstborn Jew, and he was born to Avraham and to Sarah, and he's not adopted, and he's not Chas V'Shalom Mamzer. So right away it was necessary for there to be Yichus, for there to be a genealogy verification, because of those who said that this is not who you really think he is. And Shavuos is the Yom Tov of Yitzchak. Every one of the Yomim Tovim corresponds to another one of the Avos. Pesach is Avraham Avinu. Shavuos is Yitzchak. Shavuos, which is the Yom Tov of Matan Torah, the Yom Tov of the Leida of Am Yisrael, the Yom Tov where we become Miyuchosim. V'yatem tihi yulim amleches koyhanim. Every year is considered a koyhan. A koyhan has to be a miyuchos. Yitzchak had to be a meyuchas, and therefore it was necessary that Sarah be meinik, she had to nurse all those who attended the Seuda b'yayim higana l'siyasuk. And perhaps this is also one of the reasons that we eat dairy, we eat derivatives of milk on Shavuos, as we'll soon see also in another branch of this. And what's interesting too is, let's take a look at the story of Rus. There's no sefer in the entire Tanakh that was only written for the purpose of Yichus except Rus. The reason why Rus was written, as all the Svarim tell us, is liyaches leidas David, to prove that David indeed was deserving of being the Melech, and more than that, that he was deserving of even being a Jew. And as I'll mention soon, an amazing Yalkut, that David was not a Mamzer. It was necessary to prove it. It was necessary to prove that David was Roi Lovei Bekohol, and that also Yishai was the father. The last pasuk, V'Yishai Hoilid Es David. That's why the whole Rus was written. With all the Midrashim, with all the Sidus, with everything that's in there, the main reason why Rus is written is to prove that David is Roi Lovei Bekohol. Shavuos is called the Yom HaKohol in Parshas Vayeschanan, the day where all of Klal Yisrael gathered together to receive the Torah. Not one Jew was missing. Everyone reached Har Sinai, a dogma, a taste of what it's going to be like in the future when every single Jew will reach his tikkun, his or her tikkun, and everyone will be rectified. Every neshama will be the way it should be when Mashiach will come. Vilti yidach mimenu nidach. There will be no such things as neshamas that will not have a tikkun in the time of the Geula. Every Jew was present by Har Sinai. Okay, there were the four-fifths who didn't go out of Mitzrayim, that is true. Not every Yid left Mitzrayim, but from all those who left Mitzrayim, everyone was present at Har Sinai. There was no one missing. If one Jew would be missing, Matan Torah could not have taken place. Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Hahor, which is what happened this coming Friday on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So every Yid had to be there, every Yid had to be a Meyuchas, and the emes is, it didn't matter what really happened before. Beginning with Matan Torah, every single Yid is a Meyuchas. David HaMelech, who is the David Malka Mashiach, David is the Neshama of Mashiach, David had a lot of difficulty in his life. And there was one certain personal difficulty that David had that not everyone is aware of. Besides that, there were many who said that David is not Roy Lovei Bakohol. Neither was Yishai, if that's the case. Neither was Oyved, if that's the case. Because if Boaz was not allowed to marry Rus, which is what's discussed in the whole story of Rus, as the Gemara in Yevamos and all the Mefarshim talk about. If the halacha is lo yavei amayni amayavi, including the kavis as well, so then not only is David asra lo yavei bakohol, so was Yishai and so was Oyve. It's not only David. There was another issue here, and this is a medrash that's brought down to the Yalkut HaMechiri in Tehillim. Except no one knows exactly where the Yalkut HaMechiri got it from, but it's certainly a reliable medrash. The Arizal brings it down and the Sfarim discuss it, and that is as follows. Not going into all the details, Yishai and his wife had separated for 3 years. That's what it says in the Yalkut HaMechiri. Yishai already had many, many children. He wasn't with his wife for 3 years. Yishai had a shivcha. Two versions to this medrash. One version is, he saw the shivcha, he had a taiva for the shivcha, he decided he wants to be with his shivcha. The real explanation of this, let's remember, Yishai, the Gemara says, never did a chet in his life. Never. Yishai was nifta only because of the chet of Eitz Hadas. So obviously this is a story that cannot be understood the way we understand things today. The reason why Yishai wanted to be with his shivcha, this I saw in other Svarim explaining this Yalkut, was because Yishai knew that there was sfeikus in his family, whether they are roi lovei bakohol. So Yishai wanted to do an amazing thing. There's a Mishnah in Kedushin that says that if a person is a mamzer and he wants that his children should no longer be mamzerim, according to Rabbi Tarfon, if you marry a shivcha, you have a child that's an eved, and if you free the eved is not, that child is no longer a mamzer. So he wanted to live with the shivcha and have a child with the shivcha. At least that child will be mutter lovei bakohol. Any psul that possibly they have in their family will go away. I'm not going into the halachic parameters of this, but that's one of the reasons why he wanted to do this. The shivcha was a tremendous yireya shamayim. She was a real tzaddikus. She did not want to do this, and she felt very, very bad, and she felt very hurt for David's wife, for Yishai's wife. So she went to Yishai's wife, and she told him about it. She told her about it, and they made it. She said, "I'm not doing it." Instead, when he thinks I'm going to come to him, you go instead. So instead of the shivcha going, his wife went. That night, he thought he was with his shivcha, but he was really with his own wife. she became pregnant with David. When Yishai finds out later on that his wife is pregnant, he knows he hasn't been, he thinks at least that he hasn't been with his wife, who's supposed to be the Shivcha. He accuses his wife that she lived with someone else, and therefore she's an Eish HaSish, and the child that's going to be born is a Mamzer. His children knew about it too. As the Medrash says, he told his children, and when the child was born, they decided, that's David, that he cannot live in the house, and they're going to just have him be a slave or take care of the sheep, and that's why he was, from birth, he was an outcast. And in fact, David HaMelech writes about it in Tehillim. Many don't understand what he means, but based on this Medrash, we understand. He says, Muzar hayisi le'echoy v'nochri levnei imi. What does that mean? Anyone who learns that pasuk, doesn't understand this Medrash, doesn't know what the pasuk is talking about. Why was he a stranger to his brothers? He said, he's a brother like anyone else. Why was he a nochri levnei imi? One of the reasons, he was born with a red complexion, he was born different, he had a different look. The reason he had a different look, and that says in the same Medrash, is because Yishai thought he was with the Shivcha, and the Shivcha was an Adoimi, so there was a similarity to Admoini, to Esav, in the birth of David, and especially with the brothers, and the brothers and the father, the way they understood it, he really is Chas v'Shalom a Mamzer, he's not, he's from an Eshesir, so they merachik him, they had nothing to do with him. And for 28, this went on for 28 years. Chof Ches Shonim, as the Medrash says, the Yalkadam Mechiri. So David writes about this. Muzar ha'yisi le'echoy v'nochri d'vdeimi. And he was vilified. He was berated. Never said a word. When Shmuel HaNavi came to the house to anoint David, and Shmuel didn't know who he was anointing either. But Shmuel came to the house, and one son passes in the other, and every one of them, Shmuel says no. Hashem says no, he's not the one. And finally, Shmuel says, do you have any other children? The immediate reaction was, uh-oh, Shmuel's coming to reveal about the Mamzer over there. And the first one to be nervous about it, and what's interesting, the Medrash says, the Shivcha, by the way, never told. The Shivcha never told Yishai about this, because she was afraid that it would hurt him, it would hurt, that he'd be embarrassed about it. His wife never told him. We're talking about such great people, they kept quiet all these years, they wouldn't divulge this. Now that Shmuel HaNavi came to the house, and he's about to anoint David, they thought he's coming to the house to reveal the psul, that everyone should know that he's a apostle, that no one should marry him. And he comes to say that David is the future king. And that's when his wife spoke up for the first time. She said, well, I have to tell you something, and you know, it wasn't the Shivcha. This Medrash is quoted by many, especially by the Mekubolim, that again, just as we find throughout Chumash, that the whole being of Mashiach had to come about through what seems to be in Yonim of Pritzis, in Yonim of Znus, with the Bnei Sloit, with Yehuda and Tamar, with Rus and Boaz, and now here too with Yishai, with the Shivcha. So it was not clear up until that point. Forget about whether David is Roy Lovay Bakol. It wasn't even clear whether David's father was Yishai. David might not be able to forget about that he comes from a Mayavis. That was one problem. The problem also is he Roy Lovay Bakol and he's not a Mamzer Chas v'Shalom. The last pasuk of Rus therefore is V'Yishai Hoyled as David. The Navi, Shmuel HaNavi, who wrote Rus, is not only telling us that David is Roy Lovay Bakol, that the problem of Mayavis is no longer in existence because Boaz was Mechadish the Halacha that day, the day that Rus came. Rus came for the first time to Eretz Yisrael, it was Erev Pesach. And it took 3 months until she married Boaz. She married Boaz Shiv'asar B'Tamuz, as it says in the Chassam Sofer, and it's brought down in previous Sforim before that. That, if you figure it out, it was 3 months basically after she came, and it says it took 3 months. She came B'Tchilas Ketzir Sa'irim, she came when they were cutting the Omer. And the whole story of Rus takes place during Sfira Sa'omer, which is one of the reasons that we read it on Shavuos. Rus goes through a transformation. Rus, who is a Moyavia, who comes from a lineage, a family of Mitunofim, of Tmeim, who does not have a Yichus, Rus becomes a Miucheses, not to the point that the Pasuk says, V'teilachno Shtehem. The Pasuk says that Rus and Naomi walked together as they left Moav to go Loshav El Eretz Yehuda to come to Beis Lechem. The pasuk is Vatelachna Shetehem. It's a very strange word. It says in Loshon Zohar, we're talking about two women. So Rashi says the reason it says Shetehem, we know two. The Arpa went back home, so who else is there? To tell us that now that Rus is a pure Geiris, and she made up her mind to leave her parents and to never to worship idols again and to join Klal Yisrael, she is equated with Naomi. Naomi and her are the same. Vatelach Nashtayim. Ruth is on the same level as Naomi now. At the end of the Megillah, Ruth, it says, when Boaz marries Ruth, it says the women that were there said, gave a bracha, and they said, that the Isha Haboa El Beisecha, she should be Kerachel Ukelea Ashabanu Shtehem Es Beis Yisrael, like Rachel and Leah. Rachel and Leah also didn't have a Yichus. Who were Rachel and Leah's parents? Who were Rachel and Leah's father? Laban. So they came from idol worshippers. And Leah, we know, also did an act which seems to be Hapach of Tzniyas. Vatetzei Leah Likrosai. Leah went out to Yaakov when Rachel was supposed to be with him that night. Vatetzei Leah Likrosai. And that night when Yisachar, when she conceived Yisachar, and the Mefarshim say she conceived Yisachar on Shavuos. He was born on Chanukah. But she was conceived, you saw her on Shavuos. That Tetzei Leah Likrosai was on Shavuos. The Pasuk says that that's what the Vayelech Reuven, you make Katsir Chitim, the Yomtif, that's in the time of the Katsir Chitim, is Shavuos. That Tetzei Leah Likrosai, very similar to what Rus does, that Rus goes to Boaz. Not the way a woman is supposed to act. That's why he says Shtehem, Lashon Zohar. They acted like men. They acted like Scharim. They didn't act like Nekevus. But there's another reason why Rus and Naomi are referred to here as Beloshin Zoch about Hilachna Shtehem. It wasn't that only they went. They brought with them the neshamos of Machloin and Kilyoin. Machloin and Kilyoin died because they married Vayisulahem Nashamay Aviyos. But as we mentioned last week concerning Machloin, and we'll see now it's also concerning Kilyoin. Machloin and Kilyoin receive a tikkun here. Because the Midrashim tell us that Rus lived not only with Machlon, but with Kilyoin too. When Machlon died, there's a whole discussion in the Mefarshim, who married who exactly, and who married who first. It's not clear. Most seem to say Machlon was the older one. He did not marry Rus first. Kilyoin was the younger one. He married Orpah, and when Machlon saw Kilyoin marrying Orpah, so Machlon married Rus. But because Machlon was the greater one, Hashem punished him first, and he died first. And when Machlon died, Rus married Kilyoin through Yibam. It was like a sort of Yibam. She died without children, so Kilyoin married Rus, and then both Machlon and Kilyoin die. Later, when Boaz marries Rus, and the purpose of Yibam is to bring the neshama that died, to die without children, back into the world, as the Alshech, all this foreign that talk about Rus, tell us that Oyveh, the child of Boaz and Rus, was really Machlon. The neshama of Machlon returns in the body of Oyveh, and that's why they said, Yulat Bein L'Naomi. Naomi has a child now. What do you mean Naomi has a child? It's Rus's child. It's not even Naomi's real grandchild. No, this is Naomi's child. This is the neshama of Machlon. The Alshuk says an amazing thing. The Alshuk says, the Pasuk says, Vatihiloi Oimones, that Rus was the nursemaid, sort of the new child, her sort of grandchild, but or her real child, the neshama of Machlon. It says, the Alshuk, a nace happened. The Alshuk doesn't say where he got this from. I don't know if it's a medrash. Huh? Naomi, I'm sorry, but Rus was the mother. But when the Pasuk says, Vatihiloi Oimones, that Naomi becomes the nursemaid of the child, the nurse of the child, says the Alshech, she suddenly had milk, and she was able to nurse him. Oimones, from the word Oimain, by he Oimeines Hadassah, the Medrash says that Mordechai nursed Esther. The Medrash says that Mordechai had Cholov that came out of him, and he nursed Esther in those years when they were running away from the Bavliim. Esther Bas Doidoi from Loshen Dad, the Medrash, which the Alshech quotes this Medrash. What's very interesting, if you think about it, just as we mentioned before, in order to verify the Yichus of Yitzchak, and Yitzchak is the first Yid, the first Jew, and he corresponds to the Yom Tov of Shavuos, it was necessary that Sarah be able to nurse all those present at the party. Here too, Naomi, who's already a very old woman, and she's not even the one who gave birth. This is a bigger nace, if you think about it. It's a bigger nace than what happened with Sarah. Because Sarah at least gave birth, so she has milk. So she has more milk. Here, she didn't even give birth. That the Hilo Oimones, she has milk to verify that this is Oive, meaning those that this was a marriage that was permitted. The Abishah doesn't make miracles for naught. If the Abishah would not have made a miracle, then Naomi should be able to nurse this child, if this child was born in a negative way, if it was born against the halacha of the Torah, those who were saying, my avi v'lai my avis, the fact that Naomi was able to nurse the child, and she wasn't even the mother, is a raya, is proof that this is me'ashem. So here we see again, similar to the Hainika Banim Sarah, and perhaps this is one of the reasons why we eat cholov, we eat dairy, we eat milk on Shavuos, to remember this. the Cholav was used to be Miyaches both Yitzchak and Oyvei, the grandfather of David HaMelech. And to prove the final point that V'yishai Hoylet is David. It's not only that, the Pasuk says, Dvash V'cholav Tachas L'shoinich. Torah is compared to milk. The Gemara says in Erevin, based on the Pasuk, initially, Ayelis Ahavim, that the Torah is compared to a dad, to Shadayim, that just like a child, when a child nurses, it tastes everything that it wants in the milk of its mother, so too, one who studies Torah gets a taste of it and enjoys it eventually, just like a child enjoys nursing. We see here that Chazal compare the Torah to Cholav. The Torah is compared to Dadim, Shadayim. The Pasuk says, right, Shadayim, right, Shnei Shadayim, Shnei Aforim, Ta'im Eitz Tzvi, exactly. As Chazal tells us that Moshe and Aaron were compared to Shnei Shadayim, they like sort of nursed Klal Yisrael. Not only that, but this word, Aimones, that the Hiloi Aimones, which the Pasuk says concerning Naomi, that she nursed Oved, is used concerning the Torah too. The Pasuk says initially, V'eheye Etzloi Omoin, the Torah is called an Omoin. So some midrashim say Meloshin Uman, it was like the blueprint that Hashem used to create the world. That's one of the writers that they bring from this pasuk. But also Ve'eya Etzlei Aman, also Meloshin Aymanis. The Torah is what nurses the Jewish people. The man that we ate in the desert prior to Kabbalah Satorah, that prepared us for Kabbalah Satorah, was also compared to Shadayim. The man, it says, is Lashad Hashomer. It tasted like whatever we wanted, just like a tinoik gets out of the Shadayim of his mother. The Pasuk tells us before Oyved is born that Boaz bought the field that belonged to Elimelech and everything that belonged to Kilion and to Machloin. So not only is Machloin mentioned here, Kilion is mentioned too. And this tells us that with the Koyach of Yibum, with the Koyach of Torah, not only does Machloin receive a tikkun, Machloin, who is referred to, Rus is referred to as Eshes Machloin, which is not referred to in the entire Megillah except at the end. She's called Eishes Machlein retroactive. Machlein receives a tikkun and is considered to have been married to Rus. Because now that we will mechadash the halacha of Mayavi v'loy Mayavis, so it comes out that it wasn't Aveira then for him to marry a Mayavis, because really she is Mutrish. At that time it wasn't known, so it was an Aveira. But based on the tikkun that Boaz does with Rus, Machlein, Miloshin Mechilas Avoinis, Machlein receives a tikkun. And most of Farshim say, but Kilion not, because Kilion is Miloshin Kiloyan, Kilion is finished, he married Arpa, and Arpa does not become a Geyer, so there's no retroactive here, there was no tikkun for Kilion. But based on those Mepharshim that tell us that Rus married Kilion as well, Kilion also receives a tikkun, both Machlein and Kilion. And Kilion can be from Loshen Kol, Loshen Ahavas Kluloi Soyich, Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Le'elam Abba, Kilion also in Loshen Nichsev Avagam Kolsa. Kilion means Kilion HaNefesh, when the Neshama wants to join Hashem, that the Pasuk uses the word kolsa. David HaMelech uses that lashon. Nichsev v'gam kolsa. Kala. Kiloyan milosh. Kilyan, not milosh and kiloyan, meaning destruction, but on the contrary, kiloyan milosh and kol. He's also included in kol yisrael yeshlem chedek leilam abba. And we could add to this what the Svarim tell us, that Machlein and Kilyan were the gilgulim of Peretz and Zerach. Machlein was Peretz. Kilyan was Zerach. And they too were originally Eir and Oinon, as the Pesukim tell us in Parshas Vayeshev, and later on in Va'era, in Vayigash, where the Pesuk says, Vayomos Eir Va'oinon, Vayihiyu B'nei Yehuda. So the Arizal translates that, Eir and Oinon died, and they became the B'nei Yehuda, they became Peretz and Zerach. So Eir is Peretz, Oinon is Zerach. Peretz and Zerach come back again in Machlin and Kilion, and then the two, Machlin and Kilion, are infused into the Neshama of Oyved. So there's a tikkun for Peretz and Zerach, for Machlin and Kilion, and for Aaron Oinon. Zerach, we know, is the grandfather of Achan. Achan is the one who the Pasuk tells us in Yehoshua, we know he was the one who stole from the Cherem, and he was stoned to death. Does Achan have a tikkun? So the Pasuk says, where was Achan stoned to death? In a place that is called Emek Achor. And that's this sure? What the Pasuk is talking about in the Haftarah this week. In Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Zayin, the Pasuk says, Yehoshua said to him, because of what you did, Ya'akorcha Hashem ba'yoyim hazeh ba'me'akartanu, you have caused us trouble, and therefore Ya'akorcha Hashem ha'yoyim hazeh, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, ha'yoyim hazeh, but not Olam Haba. Olam Haba you're going to have. There's a tikkun for you. In this world, you will no longer be here. Ya'akorcha Hashem ba'yoyim hazeh. That even Zerah, this is the grandchild of Zerach. This is with the four Yodais that are discussed in Parshas Vayesha when it says that he stuck his hand out, and then again, four times Yad. So Rashi says it's a remez to Achan, who comes from Zerach, who was Moil in the Cherem, and he stole four items. And even he's stoned to death, but he also has Olam Haba, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek Olam Haba, Ya'akorcha Hashem Hayoyim Hazeh, only Hayoyim Hazeh. Ya'akorcha Hashem Hayoyim Hazeh is B'gematria, B'mshoich HaYoyvel, what the Pasuk says concerning Matan Torah. When the Yoyvel, as we talked about last week, when the ram's horn is blown, everyone has a tikkun. Everyone reaches their shayrish. The yovel is the shayrish. Everyone reaches their roots. Everyone comes home, as they say, on Shavuos. And the Emek Ochar is now transformed into Pesach Tikva. That's what the Haftarah is talking about here, perhaps. The Nosati Lo Es Kromeho Misham Ves Emek Ochar LePesach Tikva. The Emek Ocher, that's the place where Ochan was stoned to death, who was the grandchild of Zerach, who is Oinein, who later on becomes Kilyain, has a tikkun. There's tikva, there's hope, even for the Emek Ocher, even for the Jew who has fallen, as what happened to Ochan. There's Emek Ocher is begamatria anoichi anoichi umoichi fisho'echa lama'ani. There's even kaparas avoinis for Emek Ocher. Pesach tikva, what it... Naomi say to Rus and Orpah when she was trying to push them away, and she said, "Listen, what are you going to come for? Gam ho yisi halaylo ha'ish ki amarti yeshli tikva. Is there any hope? There's no hope. I'm not going to have any more children." She was trying to see. She was testing them to see if they really want to become Jewish. So she said, "Ki amarti yeshli tikva." The truth is, she said, "Amarti yeshli tikva. There's tikva. There's hope." Yeshli Tikva is Begamatria Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be a Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built by David and Shlomo HaMelech, who are the descendants of Rus. Yes, Emek Ocher the Pesach Tikva. It's interesting, these five words that she said, Ki Omarti Yeshli Tikva, are Begamatria V'Shaftem Ish El Achuzasai, which is the Pasuk that's talking about Yovel. In the year of Yovel, when everyone returns to their Achuzah, there's Tikva, there's hope. Machlein has a Tikkun, Kilyoin has a Tikkun. And as the Pasuk tells us in Rus itself, that the women, these must have been Baalei Ruach HaKodesh, there's so much Torah written on the words of these women, not only they blessed Rus and Boaz that they should build a house like Rachel and Leah, but they said that the child that is born should be like the children of Yehuda and Tamar. Well, Yehuda and Tamar also did a very similar thing. Yehuda didn't allow his third child to marry Aaron Oinon, and Tamar lives with Yehuda, and out of that comes Perez. Here too, Rus is married to two people, Machlein and Kilyoin, who both die. So you would think no one's going to marry Rus now if her two past husbands had died. She's a katlanis. The Gemara says you don't want to marry someone who already married to two women and two husbands, and both of them died. Boaz marries her anyway, and they say, don't worry about it. Look what happened to Yehuda and Tamar. Tamar lived with Er and Oinon. They both died, but yet, even though Yehuda didn't know that it was Tamar, they had Peretz together, and from that comes Malchus Beis David. And here too, despite that Machlein and Kilyoin died, Boaz is not afraid to marry Rus, and from there comes Oved. Machlein becomes Oved. Machlein as we said, is from a Lashon Mechilas Avoinos. Machlein is also, as the Svarim tell us, Osa Atzmai Chulin. So there are those who understand this to mean Chulin from Lashon profane. Machlein becomes Oved. The remez here is that in Yonei Chulin have to be used for Avodas Hashem. The whole purpose of Matan Torah is to be Maila V'Gashmi. The Torah was given Dafka in Olam Hazeh HaGashmi. The Torah was given Dafka over here in this world, not L'Maila, because we're supposed to take the Inyonim Gashmim and be Maila them L'Avodas Hashem. That's the purpose of why the Torah was given Dafka B'Olam Hazeh, Dafka on a mountain, Dafka in the Midbar, Midbar Sinai, Dafka in a place that's desolate with the Kavana, that we make the desolate, the Midbar, into a garden. The Midbar becomes, as it says over here, Ves Emek Ochor LeFesach Tikva. And that could be also one of the reasons why the month of Sivan, as we know, corresponds to Zevulun. Every month corresponds to another Shevet. You would think that the month of Matan Torah should be the month of Yisachar. Yisachar is the Talmud Chacham. Zevulun was the Talmud Chacham, but he was mostly Isaac in business. The answer is wrong. That's not true. Because the purpose of the Torah was not only for Loim Day Torah. The purpose of the Torah was given even for those who are taka oisik in business. That the world was created, and the Eibushter has a taiva, as the Medrash says, lihi ois lo yizbarach dira b'tachtoinim. But the Eibushter wants to dwell down below. When Zevulun was born, Leah called him Zevulun, because hapam yizbaleini ishi. Now my husband is going to make his dwelling place with me. Ikad dirasa yihe imi, Rashi says in Parshas Vayetze. Zavul means dwelling place. The purpose of the Torah was that this world become a dwelling place for Hashem. And that dwelling place is not only in the Beis Medrash, that dwelling place is in your part of business, wherever you are. Where a person lives, wherever a person goes, the person brings the Dvar Hashem everywhere and makes the entire world a Beis Zavul. The Beis HaMikdash is called the Beis Zavul. To the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a dwelling place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the parasha ends off here, Al Tachrisu Es Shevet Mishpachos HaKahosi. Al Tachrisu, just like the pasuk ends off in Rus, V'lo Yikoreis Shem HaMeis. Although really, Machlin and Kilian were Chayiv Koris, the Lashon of the Rambam and Ilchus Yisurei Biyah, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, is that a person who's Bo Al Bas El Nechor Yachreis Hashem, the pasuk says, that a person is Chayiv Koris. The Tikkun of Machlin and Kilian were, the loyi kores shem hames, that they will not get the kores, meaning that the neshama came back again in the guf of oyved besoid hayibim, as the svarim tell us, the alshuch and all the svarim that talk about rus tell us that the soid hayibim was so great, the concept of yovel as we mentioned before, which is with the koyach of Torah, that my avi v'loy my avis, that even Machlin and Kilian that were be'emes chay of a certain level of kores were given another chance, sort of. They were given beside HaGilgal, they came back into Oved, just as we see the same thing with Ochon, Ya'akorcha Hashem Hayoim HaZeh, but Olam HaBa He Has. That's where the parasha ends off as well here, Al Tachrisu Es Shevet Mishpachos HaKahosi. We should be Zaychataka to be Makabal the Torah in the proper way, and to realize the Torah has the Koyach to be Mahapach a person totally, no matter what the past was, doesn't matter. That's when the Yichus starts by Matan Torah. That's where the real Yichus began. And we should be zoichetach the best emek ocher the pesach tikva, that even the emek ocher becomes pesach tikva, and there is tikva, yesh tikva la'achariseich, as the Navi in Yirmiyah tells us concerning Rachel Imenu. She says yesh tikva la'achariseich ve'erastachli la'olam ve'erastachli b'tzedek uvamishpat v'chesed uvarachamim, and as the last pasuk ends off here, ve'erastachli be'emuna v'yodat es Hashem. We should be zoichetach, as the Zohar says, be'yifkun b'nei Yisrael, that the geul is going to be on Shavuos after. Shavuos is the Yom Tov really of the Geula. V'yishai Hoyler as David Malka Mashiach, and we should be zeichet to it immediately. And this Shavuos be together in Yerushalayim HaKadosh.